It's been a couple weeks since we've podcasted, though.
2 weeks.
I know. It feels like a long time. A lot has happened between now and then.
You missed me.
Between then and now.
You missed me.
No.
How much did you miss me?
On a scale of 1 to 100?
Let's go 0 to 13.
No, I was going to say 0. But now it registers.
1 to 11.
3. No, okay. No, 0. No, no, 0, 0. 11? Hang on. 0.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 246 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubing in Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver.
What's going on, Adam?
What's going on with you, man? You're all over the web.
Am I blowing up?
Yeah, I think you... Well, you didn't break the internet, but you might have mildly bruised it.
I don't think I put a dent in it. I don't think that even... Yeah.
But you're famous. My kids even said so.
Oh, well, your kids have heard of me.
Yeah.
That's great. I buy them things, so they're jaded.
What's new with you?
I bought a new tripod head today.
Okay.
On Amazon.
Yes.
Yeah. Click the RSI.
A fluid head?
I did. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I've been holding off for so long and just decided I ended up using a guy's... I borrowed a guy's when we were in England on the weekend, and I loved it. So I went to buy it, but they didn't have it anymore, so I bought the one better. So,
okay, one upsmanship.
Yeah, that was his backup one. He had an even better one, too, so don't worry. Him and I are tied, and like our top tripod heads were tied now.
Okay.
So I got the good one, because they're not very expensive anymore, I don't think, for a good tripod head. So, yeah. It's on its way. I've ordered it today. It should come tomorrow. So I'm just going to sit at the door and wait at this point.
Great.
Other than that,
tell us about your breaking out party this past week.
Breaking out. I was in London.
I saw pictures.
I was in London and a place I think near Chichester. Okay. Went to the Goodwood Festival, a Goodwood Revival, which I had never heard of. And it is awesome, but I went with, Mr. Podcast, Adam Carolla,
which is the big news.
That's the big news. Did I bury the lead?
Yeah, a little bit.
I didn't mean to do that. No, it was, I spent the weekend, with Adam Carolla and the crew in London and, at the racetrack out at Goodwood. Worked on a movie he's shooting a new movie. About, okay. He's a producer, a guy named Nate Adams, is the director, and he's making a movie about the 24-hour of Le Mans.
Which is all car racing stuff.
It is car racing stuff, yeah. Back in the in the 60s, I think the short story is that Henry Ford Jr., I think, wanted to start a racing company. A racing division for Ford, and I guess he at some point decided he was just going to buy Ferrari, because Ferrari wasn't really like a worldwide known brand at the time.
Okay.
Made an offer for Enzo Ferrari, had said yes, I think, and then basically pulled the plug, and Ford got mad and said, "Well, I'm going to beat you at your own game," because Ferrari was you know kicking ass at Le Mans. And so, in a couple of short years, Henry Ford put together a racing division and built the Ford GT40, which went on to win.
Okay.
And so, those cars, the Ferraris and the GT40s, were at Goodwood, and so they're in part of their documentary was to go and see the cars and interview some of the old Le Mans drivers, which we did. Okay. And that's what I worked on as cameraman, kind of grip, got coffee, did everything. But basically ran second camera and
I got to hang out with the boys.
That's exactly right. So I went in. So how this all? I think this will actually. We'll talk a little bit more about this later in the show because this is going to be the topic today.
Okay. Well, don't give it all away.
No, yet. But I wanted to mention quickly how it came about.
Okay.
It was. I think it was way back in. I bet you January or February or something like that. On his show, which I listen to now and then. I used to listen to the Adam Carolla show basically every day, and then it turns out having two kids makes that difficult. So I listen a couple times a week, best I can, or catch up when I can. And boom, they announce, "Hey, we're going to London. We're gonna go to the Goodwood Festival." And that day, boom, I sent a tweet off to I think Gary, one of the producers over there, and just said, "Hey, you guys are coming here. Who do I talk to about working?" And he sent me Nate's info, and that was that. So him and I have been talking ever since January. Or February, and that's how it came about.
Cool.
So there's that, and obviously, you know, I'm a fan of Adam Carolla, of course. But I was really excited about the work. You know, I really wanted to work with these guys because I like what they do, but more importantly, I love how they do it. Just the whole nature of how they do business is really intriguing, and I wanted to be part of that.
Okay.
And so I reached out. So
that's the way to do it. Don't you saw an opportunity and you went after it.
That was the plan. Yeah. Yep. So and it worked out. But I'll tell more about the story on our topic part of the show.
Okay.
We have photos to go over though.
We do.
Yeah. How you been, by the way? I didn't ask you.
Been great.
And anything interesting happen?
Photo related?
Or life?
Photo related. I did last week, and I did photos. I did some headshots for someone who knows someone, kind of thing, right? For a friend of, I guess, colleague of Lisa's. She wanted headshots, but that's not the interesting part. She wanted to bring her dog, and not related to the headshot. She wanted to do a few headshots for work related purposes, but then she wanted to do a few pictures with her dog, and then she wanted to do a couple pictures of just her dog. So this is something entirely new for me, and she wanted to do white background. So it was shooting her with the headshots, no problem. Shooting her and her dog again, no problem. And then shooting her dog white background, which was all new to me. So that was fun. And I'll post one of the pictures. I haven't posted anything, but I'll post one of the pictures of the dog because it's a pretty cute dog. Uh-huh. And it's a terrier. And again, shooting a dog studio style, completely new to me. Fortunately, super, super well behaved and trained dog. So not a problem. Did this in about 38 seconds, and the results are pretty cool. So.
And did she pee on your white backdrop?
She did not. She did not pee anywhere.
I meant the colleague. My kids,
yes, she did. Yeah. Just a tiny, tiny bit.
Standard move. She's probably nervous.
Yeah. So no, that was different. I've never done pet photography, so to speak. I've taken pictures of people's dogs or horses or whatnot just out in the environment, but never brought this situation into the studio. And turns out not really a problem if the animal is very well behaved.
I'll bet you that's one in a hundred, though. That's easy.
I don't know. This dog was so good. Yeah. So, yeah, not a problem.
So are you going to get into pet photography?
I am not.
No. I think it's a thing. I think it's a lucrative thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think people do this white background thing with dogs. We were at the PNE a couple weeks ago. That's the Pacific National Exhibition, big kind of fair they have in Vancouver every year. And they have a big dog show with, you know, they call the super dogs. Mm-hmm. And there's like a booth set up that's all about animal photography. And I saw all the samples. It's all white background with your dog.
Really?
And it's very expensive. So
really?
It is a thing. I think there's a few people that probably have that niche, and they probably do very well at it. So, yes. Yeah, but I will post the photo because I was quite happy with it. And of all the photos, like the client, she was just head over heels for the couple of her dogs. She doesn't have anything quite like this, right?
So I guess not.
Yeah, so she was loving it. And she posted it all over the place and tweeted it to different things. And so, yeah.
Big dog, small dog?
I'm going to say that's a medium dog.
Oh, it's extra medium.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, extra medium. Not huge and definitely not one of the a small lap dog, but very, very cute and fluffy and kind of worked well because it's sort of a golden color mixed with the white background. It's quite a nice combination. I did it for her in black and white and then also just in color, and I like both of them. So.
Now, were your kids there?
Kids were there.
You guys getting a dog?
No, my kids would love a dog, but we're not home enough to have a dog. So
I'll walk them, Dad.
Yeah, they would love a dog. Both of my kids love dogs, but they're the lady that helps out with daycare with them sometimes, she has two dogs there, so they get their dog time in over at her house, which is perfect.
That is excellent.
Yeah, so that's all I got for interesting. I do have another shoot coming up this weekend, but I'll maybe talk about that next week because you got plenty of things to talk about.
Right. Photo challenge. I had to remember what this photo challenge was. I got back a couple of days ago, but I had to get caught up on other work. I had all lined up. It's been a pretty hectic couple of weeks. Okay. And so this morning, I actually went back and looked and went, oh, good. That's the topic, the challenge, because otherwise I would not have had a photo.
Right.
So I can crop. The photo challenge this week was crop.
Right, which is pretty much what I did too. I've been taking photos, and then I just I didn't shoot anything specific for cropping purposes. Mm-hmm. I just looked at the pictures I've taken in the past 2 weeks and thought, okay, what would I crop here? And then I did, and then I cropped, and that was the challenge. So I quite like this. We could make this the challenge, the standing challenge every week.
Yeah, I was also pleased with myself. All right, let's jump into it. Let's start with you, because I posted three different sets because I just I decided in the end, but I just had like different versions of what this looks like. So let's have a look at your photo. Here's your cropped version. Go.
What do you want me to say? Shouldn't you say something?
Probably.
Is that how it works?
Oh yeah. This is your son on the
you know, this spot. Yeah. This is the park where they've got the zip line. So they zip back and forth.
And the broken fence.
And the broken fence, and I particularly like this area of the track with the background where you have this kind of fence and there's a space in between the trees where there's some sky. So I basically did a I can't remember if this is a focus trap or not, but I had specifically positioned myself in mind for this exact background because a lot of the rest of the background is not pleasing and I didn't want any other kids or distractions in the picture. So I sort of parked myself and specifically waited for him to come into the frame and then snap this photo, and that's all it was. And then of course, you know, I got it and I thought, you know what, this was 70 to 200 millimeter lens and I can't remember what focal length, but I'm gonna say over 100 millimeters.
I'm gonna say 131.
Is that because you're looking at the exif data?
Maybe.
Yeah. So I basically thought, okay, I like it, but I will like it more with a slightly different composition because, again, it's kind of center of the frame with the original. Mm-hmm. So I cropped it, like I leveled it, like we talked about. Those are the things that I'm typically looking for. I wanted it to be A level. And B, I thought it would look better as rule of thirds. So those are the adjustments I made. And then here you go. Here's the final version, which I really like a lot better than the original.
Is it leveled? I thought it was unleveled.
Well, it's slightly, but I was mostly thinking about the fence.
Uh-huh.
and keeping the fence level and the posts straight. And so again, it depends on what you level for. There's nothing perfectly level here. So right. I basically did it for the vertical lines. And
The rope is going to act as a plumb line, though, correct?
I guess. Yeah. It's bent, though, right? Because his body
towards
is
the bottom. But the top above his hand is going to work as a plumb line. And in the original, it's perfectly looks to me to be perfectly perpendicular, which that's not easy to say. But however, your instincts are correct. I like the one that you, quote-unquote, straightened better. Because you did choose, I wouldn't say you straightened the fence, but you sort of straightened it-ish in the, you know, the best way you can and kept those posts as vertical as possible. And to me, that works better than the actual technical vertical image.
Right. And like I say, if you keep the whatever the rope that he's hanging on vertical, then everything else is askew. So
yes.
I like you say, you have to pick a horse here.
You do.
And I liked it better this way. So.
No, you made the right choice. I was basically pointing that out to agree with you.
Okay.
And I like the crop version better. I mean, like this is a difficult shot to get perfect in camera because the right to left motion.
Yes.
And so this is one of those ones, no matter zoom lens or not, you kind of want to track. I'm guessing you're tracking focus. The focus trap here probably wouldn't serve you very well.
I think I did. I tried both ways, yeah. But that's why I say I can't remember which one this is. He went about five times, and I have about five. And the funny thing is, they're all in focus. The focus wasn't the problem, but that's what I was most concerned about, is that I was going to miss the focus. But either way, they thought the pictures were in focus.
When doing right to left movement like this, I would absolutely use the servo and just let the camera decide. The camera does a pretty good job of tracking focus on its own. If you do a focus trap, there is a slight possibility that when he is at that focus point, he might be a few centimeters back.
Yeah, it might swing forward or back.
Yeah, and so then you're not going to get you'll never get an actual focus point. Whereas if he's coming at you, no matter what happens, you are going to get. Well, you might miss it, but he will be in focus at one point. Now, focus is not the issue, but the issue is when you get right to left movement like this. For you to frame it correctly, you're going to have to use the right hand side focus point, and hope you nail it. And
on my camera on the 6D, that right hand focus point isn't nearly as accurate as the center point. So that's partly why it's in the center of the frame most of the time if I'm going to use servo, because that's the accurate point. Uh-huh. And I know you've talked about using all the points. On the 6D, the only one that's a cross-type sensor, super accurate focus point is the center one.
Right.
So, again, it's not the camera for doing this kind of thing regularly, but it does a good enough job if you put it in the center.
Especially in this light, actually, too.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so you're better off to shoot this one with him in the center and then crop it later. That's what I think. So, and the crop is a much better image. I mean, just you're in tighter and we see what's going on. So, all right, let's have a look at mine. Mine's a black and white one of the guy.
Okay, so which number is that?
246.
Yeah, but you've got challenge two, just the first
one? Just the first one.
Okay, so it just says Allen. All right, here we go. Original or crop first?
Doesn't matter. I'll go with the crop. That's the final image. So this is Matt. He's part of the Corolla crew. He does the car cast with Adam Carolla. Do you know that podcast? Probably
I don't
not.
Listen to it. I know it exists, but I don't listen to it.
Right. So this is Matt from that show who I met over the weekend. He was just there because he loves cars. And does the show with Adam, and so that was him. So this is one, on the first day on Friday, we were kind of walking around, and a big crowd of people, and I was just snapping photos at random, and got this one of him. And if you look at the wide shot, you can see, even though this was the 70-200, I really couldn't isolate him from the surroundings. Like there's a lot going on. There's a big crowd of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it just distracted from the image, and I think it's a good looking photo. He's throwing his big Hollywood smile at you, and it looks much better if you go in tight. So that's why I cropped this one.
Okay, I think it works just fine.
There's not much else to talk about.
You get rid of the most distracting part is the guy on the left, not the guy in the background. That's Mike August, right?
Correct.
Guy in the background. The guy on the left,
Gary.
Which I'm assuming is that the producer, you're seeing the bottom of his face, and that part's a bit distracting, so you get rid of that. So that's kind of the nice thing. Mm-hmm. The foreground is out of focus enough that it doesn't really matter, but certainly when you see this kind of stuff pop up, and for our situation where you're taking your kids on the playground, sometimes there's just a random kid that's a bit too close, and you just don't want to have them in the photo. Mm-hmm. So this is the most obvious situation is to get something, some person, or some object, a trash can, whatever, out of your photo.
Right.
So there, good work.
That was the plan. But I threw a couple other quick examples up as well. So here's the lady dressed in the old timey Air Force RAF outfit or whatever she is. A lot of as I'll explain later, a lot of what goes on, people dress in period garb at the Goodwood Festival. So she was dressed up like that. This was part of some sort of a setup photo shoot in front of a Spitfire airplane. I don't know if her nose and face stud were period or not. Those might have been modern, but the rest of it, her hair and whatnot. And so there was somebody actually shooting, like, I'm assuming a professional photographer. He had like a really great looking Nikon rig, and he had an assistant basically underneath her bouncing with a silver board up into her face because it was a pretty bright sunny day. Yeah. And as I happened to be walking past, like heading back to where we were shooting, I saw this and just said, "Oh, I'm going to grab it." So I basically leaned over the guy's shoulder, as you can see in the wide image, and shot over that guy's head. Just stole his photo.
Yeah, sweet.
So I wanted to crop him out.
Yeah, because he's got a weird ear.
Yeah, that was my main concern, was his weird ear. And you always crop out the weird ear. So here's an example of he probably framed up the image slightly different, and he had the freedom to go ahead and frame it how he wanted. Myself, I had to kind of work with what was, you know, when you're stealing, you kind of steal what's there. And, right. And so I wasn't the only one. There was like six or seven other people with their iPhones kind of off to the right doing the exact same thing. So it makes it okay, I think.
Okay.
That's my point. So this is just a much better crop to exclude him. And then the last one was one of the Spitfire trainers. You can see a two-seater. Like Spitfires are typically they're the single passenger aircraft.
Yeah.
But they made a few trainers, you know, basically to get you up and teach you how to fly back in the day. And so they had a few of those flying around. One of those flying around where you could actually go and you could go for a ride in one if you wanted.
Oh, sweet.
Also, if you had $5,000.
Right.
That American or Canadian or whatever it was. I think it was like 3,500 pounds or something for a 25-minute flight. So I checked the couch cushions and I didn't have that.
Right.
So maybe next year I'll go for the flight. Talk them into
Save
it.
Save up.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. But anyway, I snapped a photo of this just after takeoff. Like this just took off to my right, and just as the wheels kind of went up underneath, and I felt like the crop photo just was tighter. Like it just showed off the Spitfire better than the wider shot.
Okay, so, yeah, I agree. I mean, the focus of this image is definitely on the plane, and so I agree. The other photo is perfectly fine. If you didn't crop it, I wouldn't be thinking, oh, this needs to be cropped, because the inclusion of the clouds does lend something to it. I think the ones in the bottom left and the bottom right, but seeing the plane being the subject of your image a little bit in greater detail, I'm good with that either way. I don't think you could go wrong with this photo either way.
No, exactly. I just, you know.
You're illustrating a point.
Boom. There it is.
There you go.
So, cropping, photo challenge.
Cropping. Yay. Yeah. Do it.
All right. So, this week's topic is the Goodwood Festival and my trip to London. Everything that happened there. Not everything. Just the general overlay. So.
Okay. No frat boy hijinks?
There was. No. I get the impression that's what people are expecting.
Yeah, like you didn't pass out and they didn't marker you or anything.
What did you hear?
No, I'm just curious because it sounds like something that may have happened.
No, I think they might be past that. I'm not sure. Maybe they didn't want to get the new guy.
You didn't marker anybody.
Anyways, no, I didn't. I definitely no. It was a different me on the whole weekend.
Oh, you were on your best behavior.
I was a lot quieter than normal.
So you were trying to be more like me.
Well, I was listening to people, though. I was listening. Well, no, I'm not even joking. There was so much.
Well, then you were nothing like me.
No, there was so much knowledge being hucked around that I was like, me talking can only ruin this. Like, I am just sponging everything up and paying attention to everything I can. Okay. Because a lot to learn. So. Yeah, I went last week on Thursday. The deal was
so this was a Thursday to Sunday kind of trip.
Thursday to Monday.
Thursday to Monday trip, okay.
Yeah, basically pretty much 5 days for me. The deal.
So you flew. You flew Germany to London.
Correct.
Okay.
So the deal was Adam was doing a show in London on last Thursday.
Okay.
Or I guess two Thursdays ago now when you're listening to this. But he was
don't worry about this time-space continuum. Right. So you fly in for Thursday's show.
For Thursday's show, because the plan was we're getting up Friday and we're driving south to the racetrack, which is like, you know, 2 hours away. So we're going to drive out Friday. So I technically could have flown in Friday morning, but I didn't want to push it. You know, I didn't want to be the new guy and have them, you know, making them wait. And plus, he was doing a show Thursday night, and they said, "Yeah, come to the show. You want to go see the show?" And of course, I wanted. I'd never seen the show before, and I'm a fan of the show, and so yeah, of course, I wanted to go. So I found out when they were landing, and they were landing at like 2 o'clock or something like that on Thursday, and so I made sure I landed before that, so I could get to the hotel before them, so that I didn't make anybody wait. Now,
okay, good thinking.
I made me wait. That's what I did.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's the smart move.
Well, I waited quite some time, actually, as it worked out.
Usually, you make me wait. So I think it's probably a good turnaround here.
Yeah, so I get in there Thursday and basically hop on the train, get into town, and go to the hotel. So I thought, okay, I'll wait for them in the lobby. They have a room for me, but I can't check in until they all get there. So I just wait. And I figured, okay, I'll be waiting for them to help them unload the van, whatever needs to happen. I end up waiting basically for 4 hours.
Sweet.
Yeah, it was awesome. For a while, I waited in the hotel lobby, but after like 90 minutes, they very clearly were sick of me waiting there.
Okay.
Because it's London. Everything is small, like in London. So this was a nice hotel, but it was a very small lobby. Like two chairs. There's two chairs, that's it.
Yeah.
And so after like 90 minutes, they were sick of me. And so I was like, all right, I'll go wait in the street. Which,
so did they ask you to wait outside?
No, but I read the room. And
what was the message that you were getting?
They weren't sure I was who I said I was. All I said was, like, you know, yes, I'm meeting people here, and I said they land at, you know, at 2 o'clock, and they'll be here, like, they'll be a while, like, I know they have to go through security and, you know, get the van, or whatever. I actually had no idea how they were getting there. Assumed they were getting a van, I didn't know, and they did, and so I knew there was all these variables, and they looked at me like, I think you're inventing most of this.
Right.
So at that point, I was like, you know what, I don't want to push it. So I went and waited in the street, stood in the street.
And they were happy because now they figured, okay, he's gone.
Right. But they could still see me. and so I guess there was some guy in the hotel bar who would go outside to smoke and every 30 minutes. And so I saw him 12 times. So that was awesome. You know, but anyway, so sometime around, I forget what time it was later, like, you know, 5:30 or something like that. Adam and Nate, the director, show up. They roll up and they're walking up, and it's very clear to me that they've had a long flight. Mm-hmm. And so I went and said hello to Nate and said, "Hey, listen, I'm the guy you've been talking to. Hey, great, everything's sorted." And talked briefly, and basically Adam goes up for a quick like a 20-minute nap because he has a show to do.
Right.
That's how much time he's allotted to show up, have a quick little break, and then go do a show.
Yeah.
So we meet back down in the lobby, and there's, you know, meet Mike August and his talent booker, I guess, among other things. And if you're familiar with the show, you know these names.
Okay.
Right?
Let's assume people aren't familiar, so.
They're probably not familiar. Or maybe they are. Maybe you are familiar. Anyway, so we talk with them, and I say, "Hey, listen, yeah, I'm coming to the show, but I'd like to shoot, you know, I'll shoot a behind the scenes, like a little video for you guys, and just because I'm here, and I like to do that." And yeah, no problem. Like, I have a whole pitch involved where I'm like, "Look, you know what? Like, I'll be a fly on the wall. I'm not going to interfere." You know, didn't have to get into it. It was just, yeah, awesome. Go nuts. That's not normal.
No, I think usually there's a little bit more baggage involved.
I've done these things before for celebrity type people, and it is usually a gong show. There's this whole image thing, and oh no, we don't shoot this, and don't shoot, like, and it's painful. to the point that normally I don't want to do it. But his whole thing was, yeah, go crazy. Like, like to me, that confidence was pretty inspiring. Like, wow, he's just that confident that he doesn't care.
Well, and he did play the video for his other staff members live on his show yesterday, so Thursday, so again in the time-space warp. And his comment was about himself. He's like, yeah, I mostly look pissed off the whole time, but again, does not care, like, and is fully happy to share it with other people, even though his the image he's projecting might not be exactly the best of himself, right?
I agree, but he just, that's what I'm saying. That's the confidence where he just doesn't really care. Yeah. He's like, yeah, here you go. Go nuts. And I even said, like, hey, look, and like, I'm not going to make anybody look bad. And he was like, yeah, let me cut you off there. I got a show to do. Like, stop talking, you know?
Yeah, just do it.
Yeah, you know, he didn't even get to that point. I didn't have to get too far. So we leave. We got like a 20-minute walk from the hotel. It was originally they'd booked a hotel like right across the street from the theater.
Right.
But then the theater was condemned, and so they had to move it to a different theater.
So now you weren't right across the street anymore.
No longer. And so they stayed at the same hotel, but it was like a 20-minute walk. And he wanted to walk. He said, yeah, let's just walk. So it was me, Mike August, Adam, and this guy, Nate, who were going to hoof it over to the hotel, over to the theater. And I said, well, I'm going to start filming now. You know, I figure I'm going to film, get some shots of him, you know, walking through London. Like I had the whole narrative in my head about what this movie was going to be, like Adam in London, right?
Right.
Yeah, well, we leave a 20-minute walk to the theater. We leave at 10 to 7 for a 7 o'clock show.
Okay.
So that's not going to happen. And meanwhile, and so Mike August is leading the way, and Adam talks in the show about him being a maniac. Yeah, he's not exaggerating. He's a maniac. Like, he's just walking wherever he wants, crossing in the middle of the block at red lights. It didn't matter.
And apparently, because I heard the show, he's using the GPS on his phone to lead.
Not well. Yeah. No. That was really. It wasn't happening. Yeah. Yeah. And so. yeah. And.
Yeah. So you're running late. We're running late.
Can't find the theater, and he is just all over the map. Like, I almost got hit by a guy in a moped. Like, I'm trying to film this whole thing. And I'm trying to basically sprint out. Generally, I will hustle out in front of a subject, turn around and film them walking towards me, right?
Right.
Can't do it because they're just moving. And so I get a lot of shots behind. I'll try to get some establishing shots. I want to get like the red the phone booth in, the double-decker buses. We're nowhere near Big Ben, so that's out. But, you know, at one point the Queen walked by, so I got her. But you want to establish that, hey, we're in London, right?
Yes,
that's the idea. You know, so we get there. We finally find the theater, and they take us in the back door, big time. Crowd's already seated, like, obviously, because we're late. And so that was it. Just start rolling. Like, just go, you know?
Yeah.
And so in my head, I wanted to get the real behind the scenes. Like, I didn't want to go and shoot him doing his show because you could conceivably see that. Like, if you pay your money, you get to see his show.
Right.
You download it on off of iTunes or wherever. You get to hear his show. But I wanted to give the fans kind of like a little look behind, like what happens behind the curtain.
Yes. Right? Exactly. Yeah.
And so that's. So if you look, it's on their website right now. We'll post a link to the video.
And did you put it on Facebook as well? I think you did, right?
I just shared their link. I wanted to give it to them. Like, I gave them the video and said, you know, go nuts.
And it was, because I looked. I mean, I went through the link, but then I just clicked on his website to see where it was posted, and it's posted right on his main website page, like right on the first page. It had sort of recent videos, and it was right at the top of the list. So
right,
it's easy to find on AdamCarolla.com.
AdamCarolla.com. Check it out.
And you know what's interesting for those who try to go online and find it is that make sure you put in Adam Carolla, CAROLLA, because if you go COROL, someone has a completely different website.
Yeah, I don't think I have any videos on there, do I?
No, you don't. But there's lots of other stuff that someone has just kind of capitalized on people making that spelling mistake and like podcast related stuff and whatnot. So I was a little bit confused because I spelled it wrong at first. So make sure you spell it with C-A-R. And you'll probably put a link there, right?
I will put a link. So definitely
on our website. But no, I wanted to commend you because I don't throw around praise lightly, but I really appreciated it because, again, I'm a fan of Adam Carolla's show. I'm also a fan of your work, and I thought they meshed very nicely together. I liked the peek behind the curtain. I thought the video was again, I understood what must have went into this, and the fact that like this was all done on the fly, and so the finished product done without like with zero takes and just kind of capturing bits and pieces along the way is extremely good. And like I say, I've tried to make little videos here and there on my own. And so I know there's a ton of work that went into this in such a short time frame. And then the beauty of it is you got the turnaround and the final product out so fast that it was still relevant to his show. Like if you had got this back to him 2 weeks from now, I don't think many people care.
Right.
But he was all week long, he was talking about his trip to London, that the key here was that your turnaround was so fast and your product was good that it was completely still relevant. So I don't know if other people who do this kind of thing, they can appreciate it, but if people don't do this kind of work, they don't realize how hard that was to pull that off. And so that's again, a good on you for pulling that off.
Well, thank you.
Like I said, I'm not here to pat your back normally, but I really did think it was well done. I think anybody who listens to this podcast should definitely check it out because, I mean, photography and video, I mean, a lot of the things go hand in hand. And I think anybody nowadays with a DSLR probably is at least experimenting with some of the video capabilities. And it's pretty awesome what you can do with your DSLR once you figure out how to focus the thing manually.
Well, that's a great point because one of the things in the shot, like sort of at the intermission, Rich Hall was there, who I met, who, if you don't know, Rich Hall was on Saturday Night.
Comedian, right?
Yeah, very funny, SNL. Just I've loved him for a long time. I've really been a big fan, and so getting to meet him was pretty cool. And I got my photo with him, which we'll post on the site as well. And then a band from like the 60s, well, started in the 60s, and then there's still a band called The Zombies, who I guarantee you know some of their songs. You don't know that you know them. She's Not There, you know that song.
Yeah, I knew a couple of the songs. Yeah.
Right, so they were a guest on the show, so I got to meet them. But at the intermission, you know, them and Adam and Rich were all kind of just, you know, sitting around for 20 minutes talking and laughing, and I wanted to capture that. And so there's one shot in there when, you know, Adam's talking, and then the guy from The Zombies is talking, and there's a rack focus.
Yeah.
And it like, and I nail it.
Oh, you totally did. And I was going to say, the parts that I was most impressed by, because this is all handheld, right? You don't have this on a tripod, right?
No.
So you're hand holding your camera, and so, you know, you're pulling, I don't know, is it pulling focus? What are you calling it? So you got two people and they're staggered, and so you're, one person talks, the focus is on them, and then the person in the background talks, and quickly the focus is on them. And that is, I mean, I've tried this. This is extremely difficult to pull off, especially all done with one take. Like, you don't have any chance to do this again. They're not reading lines, right?
No.
So there was that, and there was another situation where they were kind of just about to come back on stage, and they're sort of standing and chit-chatting, and there was three of them, Adam Carolla and again, Mike August and the guest there. And you were again mixing the focus a little bit there, which I was mesmerized by that. I wasn't really paying attention so much to what they were saying, but looking at like, wow, that's good handheld focus changes and on the fly like that. And maybe that's why you elected to partly use some of those parts.
I actually liked the fact that Mike August is talking about nothing like that.
And the guy totally in the background totally was like, I don't know what this guy, like he makes one of those kind of mouth movements of like no idea or something that he says in the background that again, I got a chuckle out of, but again, I watched it a couple times. So
to be fair to Mike August too, I'm referring to him like we're best friends. We're not, but he's a great guy. Like just a fantastic guy. I really like, immediately, like I liked him from like the first second that we started talking. I was like, wow, this is a really great guy. So it seems like I'm making fun of him here. I'm not.
Don't worry. He's not listening.
He's not listening.
So I think you're safe.
Well, he doesn't listen when you talk to him. It's okay. He doesn't care. No. He's a great guy. But and so all this focus pulling is made slightly easier. Not a ton, but slightly easier by the fact that I'm using my cinema lenses, which have basically fixed stopping points for the focus.
Right.
It's not infinitely easier, but it's a lot easier. But especially the shots that like you're seeing backstage just before they go out after the intermission, that was definitely shot at an f 1.5, which is wide open, which means focus is going to be tough anyways. So there's a little bit of battling of focus there, but you get the general idea, pulling back and forth on who's talking when.
Right. And I think, I mean, practice, right? Like, you have a lot of reps doing this kind of thing.
Yes. Yes, it does. Also, I also have an eyepiece. I have this Zacuto Z Finder, which clips on the back, which allows you to basically hold the camera up against your face and get a really good idea of what is in focus and what isn't. However, I do shoot my video with the sharpness turned down, because I find HD video to be too sharp as it is.
Okay.
So I knock it down a little bit, but because it's what I'm seeing on that image, it makes focusing very difficult.
Mm.
And so there's that kind of trade-off where you're hoping you get it. It looks a little soft, but you have to trust yourself that, yes, it's actually in focus, and it'll appear in focus when you're done. So that's it. So I shoot all that. The show's over, and basically, there's people hanging around doing interviews, stuff like that. And Adam's off too. He's going to go have dinner. He's been told he has to go have dinner at a casino. He's meeting this one of the guys who backed his movie. He owns a casino, and so they and Adam's doesn't appear to be super thrilled
about the casino or going to meet the
he's excited to meet the guy, but he's like, oh, he owns a casino, like, what does that mean? And then basically gets there and finds out, wow, like, it is an amazing he was like, geez, this is like, he said, because he was told it was a casino, and then he finds out it's James Bond stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, wow, I really would have dressed for it instead of my jeans and shirt, you know. Like, I would have brought a tuxedo or something. It was that nice. So, but meanwhile, you know, it wasn't like the rest of the crew was invited. And so Nate went off for dinner. Nate and August went off for dinner with him. And so Gary, producer Gary, and I and Matt D'Andrea from the CarCast and a guy named Charles just head out for a couple of beers.
Okay.
Which was awesome. So it was really fun to talk to those guys all about like podcasting and whatnot, because they know how it all goes.
And what'd you learn?
Just a lot. I learned a lot. Like, I'm not going to bore anybody with that behind the scenes stuff here on the show.
Okay.
But it was fascinating. Again, I did more listening than talking, which is really counterintuitive for me.
Yes.
Next morning, we get on the road and drive down. This is the part that was pretty awesome. Like, I'm impressed. Is Matt, the CarCast guy, told me later he's never left North America. He's been to Canada once or something like that, but really, other than that, just always in America.
Right.
So he actually got a passport. He was in Canada so long ago that you didn't need a passport then. So he got his first passport for this trip.
Right.
Which means he's never driven on the left-hand side of the road before.
Yeah.
And he did all the driving, and he was fantastic. Like, you'd never know. Oh, I remarked to him after, I was like, wow, man, that was awesome. Like, you hit nothing. Like, just
including pedestrians.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not like we have roundabouts in North America either. So it's kind of like, it's a lot of new stuff all at once. And so I was really impressed with how well he drove. And then basically, you know, Adam cracked wise the whole in the van, like the whole 3-hour trip. So that was kind of a fun treat, like getting the live podcast, you know, right in the van.
Right. So he doesn't stop. It doesn't stop when the show ends.
He'll slow it down. So go right to the track at Goodwood and do a quick location scout, because we're shooting the next day. Nate and I are going to shoot the next day. The plan is for Adam and the crew, they're basically on holidays at this point. They're going to go and enjoy the races. But Nate and I are working, so we scouted out the locations, found somewhere to shoot all the interviews, because we're interviewing a whole bunch of old-timey famous Le Mans drivers. guys that you probably never, you might not have heard of, but I had not, but they're very famous guys, evidently, in those circles. I did meet Jackie Stewart, if that name rings a bell.
Yeah.
Yeah, so met him, he was there. Yeah, so did that, and then after that, went to the house, because they had rented a house. This was the funny part to me, because here it is I'm some guy that has got in touch with them on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So this could go a number of different ways. And they're basically like, yeah, we rented a house, come and stay with us. Sight unseen. So I was like, yeah, no, of course I'm in, but they must be thinking, oh no. Like what if this guy is like just a complete gong show, right?
Yeah.
But no, it worked out okay. So
house. Well, and he referenced that too on his show. He when he brought your name up and, you know, and talked about the experience, he basically saying like how great his fans are and the situation. And he basically said, you know, this one guy, Alan, he's like, you know, he just came, like we got in contact with him over the internet and he just came and slept with us in the house for 4 days. So, I mean, he also recognized how unusual the situation was and then, you know, turned around and said, what a great guy you were. So, I mean, that's the thing is that, you know, a lot of times if you do have trust or faith in your people, and obviously he trusts his people that are making contact and bringing these people into his circles, that their judgment is good. And so I think even when you talk to people, for the most part, I'm sure that there's situations where super creepy people can pull themselves together enough in emails to make themselves look normal, but I think a lot of times you get the message when you have enough contact with somebody back and forth in these exchanges. Even when I sell something on Craigslist, I get the feeling pretty quickly when I don't want to meet this person in face-to-face, right?
Well, no, trust is a big thing. I mean, like, and this is, if you want to be successful, and, you know, I'm not, but the biggest thing that you can do is to have confidence in yourself that you're hiring the right people and then stay out of their way. Like that is the biggest thing that you can do, and that is what they have done. Like working with this crew, all of the guys was just such a fantastic experience. Now keep in mind that yes, I'm a fan of the show, and he did say some very nice things about me the other day, but I promise you I'm not letting that skew my judgment. What an amazing group of guys. Like just each and every one of them. You know, Nate, who's directing the documentary, would you know, basically tell me, hey, get your camera set up and that, you know, that we're going. And he didn't come over and check the framing and, you know, really tell me this and tell me that. He just trusted I knew what I was doing. Mm-hmm. Like he looked the first time and went, oh, okay, you know what you're doing. I don't need to see it again. You know, and the director of photography they'd hired, basically he brought a director's monitor so that Nate could sit and watch his shot in front of him while he interviewed. And he said, no, I don't need that. I trust you.
Right.
And this is a guy he's never worked with before, but he made the commitment and he was right. Like the guy who was a great shooter, this guy named Kevin, was great, you know? And Adam's obviously done that with this crew, is he's found these right people and just said, all right, go with it. You know, and that was that speaks volumes about basically his confidence. And that is not a normal a trait in people. So I very much appreciated that. So anyway, we're back at the house. It's a cool house out on the beach. Really cool place. End up snapping a few photos, which I'll post. And
have you already?
Probably on Facebook, I guess. But I'll put them on our site.
Yeah.
Because they said, "Hey, Al, grab your camera." It's like, yeah, of course. Are you kidding me? So I threw it on a tripod and grabbed a couple shots in front of the house, and then turned around and shot the channel as well because we're at the English Channel there.
Now, when you were setting this up, they're like, "No, no, no, we're good. You can stay behind the camera."
No, I was fully going to do that. Because I
noticed you pulled the run in on a couple, and and I was like, "Was that on your request, or was that on their request, or nobody said anything?"
No, no, no. They specifically said, "Get in here, Al."
Oh wow! Yeah. Got the invite.
Yes, that was. So I wasn't going to just assume that. Hey, yeah, man, I'm part of it, you know. And so no. But they did say in one of the show photos, like they started talking. As the timer was halfway, they're like, all right, everyone do the boxing pose, like the fists up. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to look like a moron. But again, I'm like, you got to do it, man. Like, you know, when in Rome, you do it. I'm the new guy. I'm not dictating what happens here.
Right.
And so I happily did it. And so snapped a couple of that. But now we're sitting around. Do we go for dinner? I forget if it's before dinner or after dinner, but we're sitting around kind of hanging out. And the movie Taxi comes on.
Okay.
With Jimmy Fallon. And this is a bit that Carolla has done for a long time. So he breaks out into the extended version of his why he hates this movie.
Okay.
And so just sitting on the couch next to him, having him, you know, riff on that was pretty funny. So that was like a dream come true right there. But then we head out for dinner. We go to some local pub and just jam seven of us into this little table. And again, just like seven dudes just hanging out, like, you know, you're on a road trip or something like that, golfing or whatever it is.
Right.
Next day.
So now, take us through.
Next day, I spent the whole day. It was Nate and I. The guys were off watching the races. Nate and I went and interviewed a whole bunch of drivers. It was a super long day. Nate and Kevin and I. And that was a super long day, which was really challenging, which I think we'll talk about a different time. I'm going to see if I can ring Kevin up. That's how they say it in England. And get him to talk a little bit about, from the DP end of it, how unbelievably challenging it was, like all the different factors. That was it. So I spent the day shooting, and again back to the house for sit around, had a few beers, and then we're at the beach, and there's a fish. You know, Adam said, "Hey, let's get fish and chips. Let's not go out. We're going to order fish and chips at the house. Let's do that."
Okay.
Terrible.
The fish and chip is no good in London.
No, awful. Just, and even the British guy was like, British Andy Dick there was like, "This is, I apologize, fellas. This is not what fish and chips are."
And was this on a recommendation, or like you just pulled out the yellow pages? Like what happened in terms of the ordering?
Yeah, it wasn't a recommendation. It was just we took a gamble. Yeah. And, but the good news is we watched Fast and Furious 7.
Okay.
While Adam provided commentary.
Was it good?
Yes. No, the movie?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Yes, I don't know if it was fun. It was fine. The whole experience was good. So it was very, very funny.
Okay, so how did this whole thing wind down? So what were the goodbyes like? Was it tearful?
Was there
a stern handshake and a pat on the rear end, or how did it conclude?
It was there was one more night.
So no, I didn't ask about that.
No, this one's a funny one. I promise you. I promise you. So same thing, go out for dinner or whatever, come back and we're hanging around, and this is where Adam made me smell his armpit.
Oh.
So that happened.
Yeah.
He prides himself. I don't know if you're a fan of the show, you'll know, but he talks about not showering.
And not smelling.
And so here's what happened. He gets in Thursday into London.
And don't mistake not showering ever with not showering frequently. And just hot shower rinses, no soap. He's a big proponent of, you know, don't put all these cleansers on your skin. Like just basically a hot rinse is all you need.
Now I've been that guy for a long time before I even listened to the show. I'm a quick rinse guy.
Yeah.
Or a long rinse guy depending on the day, but I'm not a shampoo guy myself.
I don't have any hair.
So. You're all set. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, so he prides himself on not the infrequent showering. Well, he gets in Thursday, okay? Gets in Thursday night, has a quick nap, goes and does the show, throws a dress shirt on, goes and does the show. Does not shower. Doesn't shower the plane off. Doesn't shower the club off. Goes out for dinner with this guy. Doesn't shower. We drive down to Chichester, down to the Goodwood Festival. For 3 days, he does not shower.
Okay.
Wears the same shirt every day. You look at the photos, he's wearing the same shirt. He showed up to Europe, stayed, left, didn't shower once while he was there.
No.
True story. I was there. He did not shower.
Not even the hot rinse.
Nothing. Not
and then so
even,
how did the armpit test come about?
Well, we were talking about it, and he basically, because he's making fun of the other guys who did shower, and he went into his rant about not showering, and just said basically, yeah, here, Al, smell me, smell my armpit.
He just picked you out of the crowd.
Yeah, he's like, here, smell my armpit, and the guys were like, and Gary was like, Yeah, it's a rite of passage, but I can't believe it's happening to you so soon. Usually it's like a year. And I was like, oh, okay, so I smell his armpit.
Do you have a good sense of smell?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I'm not lying to you. He smells fantastic. And I'm not saying that, like, oh, he didn't even stink. I was like, you could sell that.
Wow.
That is a objective point of view. I was like, wow. So much so that he then went around the room and came back to me. So I ended up having to do it twice. So I got the second armpit smell.
Yeah. Did you get the other pit? Was it one and then the other, or same pit?
I don't remember. I was just like, wow, like, this is Coco Chanel can move some units.
But he doesn't use a pit stick or anything?
I have no clue. I don't know.
I'm going to guess no.
But it wasn't even like he was going to open up, you know, raise his arm and then kind of waft it my way. No, his shirt touched my nose. And it still, I was like, wow, you're not lying. Because I know he talks about it on the show. Not a lie. True story.
But you know what? I think that's great. I think that's also rare. Like, some people don't have BO. Some people have BO. And there's the majority of the population, I think, after that time frame that would stink. So
yeah,
I don't think you can universally apply this as a smart thing to do.
I'm not going to do it. No.
Nor am I. But I don't have a good sense of smell, though. So he could have you know, gone bare pit, and I still wouldn't have smelled anything.
I was impressed nonetheless.
Yeah. But so, you really should have asked for bare pit. I think that would have turned the relationship up a notch.
I feel like that might have been misinterpreted. You know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So I didn't bother with that. But yeah, so that was it, rest of the night. And before he went to bed that night, he just pulled me aside and said, "You're making coffee tomorrow."
Nice.
And I was like, yeah, you got it. And to me, I was more pleased with that responsibility than I was with, you know, being in charge of helping him make his movie. It's like, okay, this is more important. Like, I can't mess this up.
All right.
If everything's out of focus, I don't think he'll care, but don't mess up the coffee. And yeah. So that pulled it off. No problems.
All right. So you make three different brews?
No. No, there's only one. Okay. So that was it. We leave the next morning. The guys, everybody's flying out. So they're flying out of Heathrow, and basically we have like a two-hour drive to Heathrow, from the house to Heathrow.
Okay.
If there's no traffic, it's 2 hours. So we leave 121 minutes before they have to be there.
Of course, yeah.
And they have to be there, like, okay, their flight's at, well, I forget what time it was, but the baggage drop ends 55 minutes before the flight, so we will be there at 56 minutes before the flight.
Yeah, and this is, again, for those who listen, kind of his MO is just kind of just leaving just the right amount of time and always kind of running late for these kind of things.
It's absolutely, and it's no lie. Like what you hear on the show is for real. So I watched it happen, and we got him. And basically, it was the point where it was like, oh man, we had to factor in some time to drop the van off. And I was like, well, I'll just take care of it. Perfect. 15 more minutes. Done. You know, like, I don't even care. Okay, this guy who smelled my armpit, he'll just take the van. And I can 15 more minutes to before I have to leave the house. So that worked out.
But at this point, I think you'd established as you're reliable at this point in your 4-day relationship.
Oh, no, I torched the van.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. That, I'm sure that was smart.
I sold it on Craigslist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not stupid. So there's that. But anyway, so that was it. And dropped them off. And it was because we left them like 30 seconds to get to the bag drop. It wasn't a big tearful goodbye, nor would it have been. It's not like... It's not like we're pals now. Like, he's probably not going to get a Christmas card from me.
No.
But,
or maybe maybe he will, but probably won't send you one.
Probably. No one's getting a Christmas card. I put it that way.
Okay.
Either way, I can't. You're not getting one from me, so okay. That's not the issue. But no, it was a great experience all around. I start to finish at a great time. They really are just an amazing crew of guys. There's zero ego. If they had egos, they left them in North America, because it was just like Adam, who's the producer on this show and basically there to see the cars, he's carrying gear. He's walking around with heavy gear just to help us out. Doesn't have to. He's kind of, you know, he's the star of the show.
Right.
Didn't care. You know? Just, I can honestly say that he's just an all, and not just because I'm sucking up, all around just a great guy.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
If you like him and like his show, he's basically what you think he is. Except I will say he's probably a lot more gracious than he gets credit for. Like a really, really, really solid guy. So,
okay.
Nate, the other director who you hear on the show every once in a while, he gets named. Also a great guy. Really just loved working with the guy. Knows what he's doing, what he wants. And one thing that really struck me is that he wasn't interested in making us run in place. Because like I was, this wasn't me showing up as a fan, by the way. I got paid.
Right.
This was a paid job for me to go. But when it came down, you know, came time to the end of the day, like on one of the days we were done shooting, we'd wrapped everything up. We could have gone and run around and found something to do. And Nate could have basically had us, you know, go do something. But he said, no, we got what we want. Don't just take it easy for the next half hour. You know, like I've worked with guys who are like, well, I've paid you for this half hour, so just go and, you know, dig a hole and fill it back in. Just do something so I get my money's worth.
Right.
Not the case at all. He was just, you know what? You guys are done. You worked hard. Take it easy. Let's go. I'll go buy you guys dinner. That kind of thing.
Nice.
Producer Gary. I'm going through the list because there's a couple more guys. Producer Gary.
So this is like your award speech.
Yes.
Name more people. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I want to make sure that they're all
listening right now.
None of them are listening. There is a theme. There's no, even if I print out a transcript and mail it to them, they're not going to, there's no way. It's not going to happen.
No, but no, seriously, yeah. Let me hear Gary, producer Gary.
Well, you're going to see a theme emerging because also a great guy. Like, I don't know.
I thought you were going to say just the absolute dirtbag.
Oh, let's go that way with it. Yeah. Okay. He's a dick. No, really, super helpful. Just, you know, again, no ego. Made sure, but here's the other thing, that like besides carrying gear, that he wasn't even on the shoot. He was there. He was there to produce the podcast the first night and basically had 4 days off of just going to the track. Right. No, still carried gear for us. Like, was, you know, I want to help, you know? And then when I posted the video, they posted my video. He, you know, first of all, I got it to them a day earlier than they posted it. Like when you said that, you know, I had to get it while it was still relevant, I actually did it the day before.
Right.
But he just said, I didn't want to post it until I got all your proper credit down. Because he didn't have on like the website and that, you know, he didn't know it yet because I gave it to him so quickly. And he said, no, I don't want to post it until I can publish all your info so that you get proper credit. And I thought, wow, like that's really thoughtful, man. So I appreciated that.
Yeah.
Matt, Carcast guy, what a great guy. Again, drove the whole weekend, didn't smash up the van, didn't kill us.
Okay.
That was awesome. And just a great guy to talk to. Like, really knows a lot about cars and whatnot, which is handy when you're at a car show like that. But I'm definitely going to listen to the Carcast when I get a chance, just because he's, you know, such a nice guy. Mike August, who gets beat up on the show a lot. Also a great guy.
I didn't see it going that way.
Yeah. Very friendly, like very open. Let me talk. We spent a lot of time talking over dinner and stuff like that. He's a big fan of Vancouver, actually. He goes to Vancouver a lot. Also, he wore sweatpants with a belt one day.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was possible.
No, my God. He has these sweatpants that probably cost more than all my pants put together. And I was like, are those sweatpants, Mike? Yeah. Is that a belt? Yeah. Yeah, and he was proud of it, you know. And I was like, all right, well, looking good, Kanye. Yeah, but he did look like $1 million, so you know, there's that. And then lastly, Charles was there, a guy named Charles who's not, you don't know him from the show. I didn't know him from the show either, from the universe. But I guess he helped build the studio. He does some work around, you know, off the air kind of stuff. And he was there tagging along. Also a great guy, helped us carrying stuff, and I put pictures of everybody up there on the site. Everybody but Nate. So Nate, I'm sorry, buddy. When we were taking the photos, he was off doing something work wise, and I didn't realize till after. I didn't get a picture of Nate and myself. So sorry, buddy. Next time,
we can just go back and listen to your speech about Nate, though.
I'll draw a sketch of what I imagine him and I would look like inside of a heart. Yeah.
Awesome.
It is. I know this turned into a complete love letter, but
no, it did. It did, and that's okay. That's okay. It's good. Obviously, these are people you respect. You had a fantastic experience, and yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong. We're so used to ripping on each other that this is a rare moment of just celebration of yes. people and hard work and just being nice to each other. So let's call this the happy episode.
This should be the Christmas episode.
Yeah, everybody's happy. Yeah.
Well, the thing is going in, like, honestly, I don't know what to expect, because you know these people, like, his on camera persona, but you don't know the people off camera. And I've dealt with these people before, some of them, and you're like, wow, that's disappointing. You know, you're brutal, you know. And so I was kind of a little bit nervous, because again, while I'm a fan of the show, I'm a bigger fan, and I have so much respect for how he does what he does. That I was a little bit worried, like, what if it's a bad experience? Like, this could really go south, you know?
Yeah.
Totally, like, that was really unfounded. I was just so thankful to have, to have an opportunity, like, to work with, like, this talented group of people. So, there's that. So, tweet them that and tell them I love you.
Okay, I will. Yeah. I don't tweet anybody anything, but sure. Somebody else will.
So, there you go. So that was the broad strokes of the weekend.
Oh, I want to say something.
Oh, again, also, we set fire to a homeless guy.
Okay, I want to say one thing, because I had a positive experience. I was talking about the lady, the client that I did headshots for, and her dog, and first time ever. Okay, I'm gonna drop that I did photos for somebody. And they were so over the top thankful. They sent me a message on Facebook. They posted on my timeline they tagged me in the photos that they then posted on Facebook. Just about, you know, Adam, and he took these great photos and we had such a good time. And I don't know what it is, but more and more I do work for people. I feel, and most of the times there's some connection, usually via my wife or someone I know that I generate work for. And I don't know, for me, I've always thought that whether it's paid work or not, it's just, I always, you know, usually send a response back, thanks for doing what you do, whatever it is. And I feel like that's should be the norm, and it isn't. Mm-hmm. And so when I got such a positive response back from this lady, I was so happy, just that she was happy and she was happy with the work. But I said to my wife, I'm like, isn't this how it should be? You know, like, and I feel like I reciprocate that all the time. I hate when you do work and there is just silence. There's just nothing. It's like, mm-hmm. you don't know, did they get it? You don't know if they liked it. Sometimes they really did like it. They just don't happen to tell you. And do you feel, is this the same in Germany or where you do work?
People send it. I got a message from Corolla, actually. He sent me an email saying, hey, dear Aaron, thanks. No.
That would be funny, though.
Right. No, I think it...
Am I wrong? Am I wrong in thinking this? Is this, no. This just how humans should behave to each other?
Well, no, there's been a few times. It doesn't happen often. There's been a few times where people are so appreciative of what I do that they pay me more than I ask. And those are the best. And, like, those are the outliers.
No, and that's not what I'm saying at all. And that's,
no, but that's okay. That's a good thing, too. No,
that's okay, but that's not the idea. The idea is just... when you send an email, like, with the photos, usually what I'm doing is I'm sending my photos attached in a link, and then, you know, an email sort of saying, yeah, done editing your photos, you can be found at the link, you know, hope you like them, right?
Yes.
Just you would think, and acknowledge, sometimes I'll even write because I'm worried that people aren't, like, maybe there was a problem with the link or whatever, just, you know, let me know that you got them. Yes. The worst part is when you attach that line, no response. No response for days, to the point where you're like, I think I was pretty clear in the let me know that you got them department.
Yes.
That even the email could say, got them, thanks, the end, right? But mm-hmm. I don't know. I find that email
often doesn't get responded to. And then there's that weird, okay, now they've paid, you haven't responded. And so I want to make sure that they did in fact get them, because there's been a couple situations where they didn't. Mm-hmm. And so then I'm sending another email, just checking in, want to make sure you got the photos. Just please let me know.
Yeah.
And if that one doesn't get answered, I quit. Yeah. Yes. And then I throw my computer out the window.
And don't work for them again. Yeah. No, there should be an accompanying, hey man, got it, or thanks. And
and I think what I'm getting at is I just want to know, is it me? Is this a photographer's thing? And I say it's a boat. The percentage of this happening is too high, in my opinion.
Yes. I am in full agreement. Should that be an episode?
No. Why? How to thank Adam?
Yeah, not right now. I mean, no, I got stuff
to do.
This is
a 4-hour podcast. Can we run this in Monday and Tuesday?
No.
Okay.
No. This is
people are going to get their treat. They're going to have two hosers to listen to all week long.
Nobody's asking for that.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Well, you know what the best part is? You know what Adam said when I told him about my podcast, our podcast?
What'd he say?
Nothing. I didn't tell him.
I think that was probably wise.
I was like, you know what? He doesn't care.
No, he doesn't care. And I think that, you know, for the most part, you know, everybody thinks that everybody's got an ulterior motive. And that would have been how it appeared. You have a small window to make an impression. And I think if you all of a sudden like, oh, yeah, by the way, I've got a podcast that I'd love you to be on. I think that kind of ruins what you created in the first few days. Like I think that would have been a dumb thing to do, in my opinion.
It was risky enough taking pictures of him while he was asleep.
Right. Yes. Yeah. No, I wouldn't have done it if it was me. So.
Mm-hmm. Right. Awesome.
I feel like my judgment is really good.
A photo challenge for next week. I thought
cropping
about it.
Part two.
I know, crop. That'd be awesome. No, I have one if you don't have one.
Well, let's hear yours first, and then I'll decide if I have
Well, the one. Weather, to me, I don't know how it's going over there, but the weather is definitely taking a turn for the chilly.
Yes.
So I thought chill, that would be the...
Don't like it.
Okay.
You got anything else? You got anything else?
Oh, no, if you don't like it, now it's on you.
Mm.
Top it or go with it. That's your choice.
How about a large group photo that I'm going to take in 2 days from now?
Negative.
Okay. How about smell my armpit?
No.
Okay. Chill it is. I guess it's chill.
Okay. Chill. That can be whatever. It can be you chilling.
Yeah. It's going to be me chilling.
All right. Well, that's it, Adam. Oh, websites. Where can people find your stuff real quick? Because I got to go.
Nobody cares.
Great. AdamSchwartz.ca. You can find my stuff at alnetridge.com, or the two of us at twohosers.com. We'll post a lot of pictures and a lot of links. I didn't even talk about what a spectacle the Goodwood thing was with the World War II planes and the cars. Like, just amazing. So if you're ever thinking about going, do not hesitate. Go to the Goodwood Revival. It is fantastic. Everyone's dressed up in old-timey gear. Like, people are wearing, like, you know, clothes from the 40s and looking like World War II soldiers and stuff like that. And it is just phenomenal. But just watching those Spitfires blast around is just an amazing sight to see and to hear. So check it out. I'll post a bunch of those pictures. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.